A go-to-market strategy is really a step-by-step guide to launch your product or your service successfully and to make sure that you really reach the right customers and grow your business. Because without a strong go-to-market strategy, even the best products can fail, guys. That's just the honest truth. In fact, companies actually with a strong go-to-market strategy, studies have shown that they are 33% more likely to hit their revenue goals within the first 12 months. So it's critical. Have a go-to-market strategy. The first thing that you need to do is really understanding the job customers are hiring your product to do. So this just simply means that products just don't exist in a vacuum. Customers actually hire them to do a specific job. Back to Access Genie, your weekly guide to building and growing a successful business. If you've been riding with us from the start of this 8-week course, you've already covered some powerful foundations, such as finding your purpose, competitor analysis. We've covered market research, business models, pricing strategies, customer experience, and now we're in week 7 and we're covering go-to-market strategies. This is where everything really comes together. It is one thing to build a great product or service, but it's another to really have it work, because you need to have a plan to get the product in the hands of the customers to really build momentum and make money within your business. Let me put this into some perspective for you. Brands with powerful go-to-market strategies actually consistently sell more, they grow faster, and they stand out better than those that just sit there hoping for the best. So if you don't plan your launch, the world might be against you and things might never work for you and people might never even know how great your product really is. So let's get into how to build and plan your go-to-market strategy. A go-to-market strategy is really a step-by-step guide to launch your product or your service successfully and to make sure that you really reach the right customers and grow your business. It answers critical questions such as, who is your target audience and what are you selling as a business? As well as, how will you sell it to make sure that your customers actually receive that product? And through which channels will you sell this? And most importantly, why will people care? Because without a strong go-to-market strategy, even the best products can fail, guys. That's just the honest truth. But the right one, the right business with the right go-to-market strategy, you can really build traction, you can gain loyal customers, and you can stand out even if the market is crowded. In fact, companies actually with a strong go-to-market strategy, studies have shown that they are 33% more likely to hit their revenue goals within the first 12 months. So it's critical. Have a go-to-market strategy. So click the link below to sign up to my newsletter where we give you everything you need to know about business and entrepreneurship, as well as templates and strategies to help you grow your business. I'll also be leaving templates for a go-to-market strategy. Now let's get into how you can build your own go-to-market strategy for your business. The first thing that you need to do is really understanding the job customers are hiring your product to do. So this just simply means that products just don't exist in a vacuum. Customers actually hire them to do a specific job. For example, people would hire a skincare product or a skincare brand to help them remove dark spots, to remove acne, for example, from their skin. They can hire a product to restore a hairline, maybe as a hair care product. We hire Netflix to entertain us, for example, at home. So you need to fully know what people are hiring your products for. What is your product helpful for within the market? To do this, you need to ask yourself a few questions. You need to ask yourself what pain point you are solving. What's that pain point? Is it acne? Is it hairline? Is it weight loss? Is it access to information? What pain point are you solving for? And then also ask yourself, what's the desired customer outcome from this? When they use my product, what's that desired outcome? What do they want to feel? What do they want to look like? What do they want to experience? And also ask, what would they do if your product didn't exist? So if that skincare product didn't exist, that hairline product didn't exist, what would they do? Do they have other alternatives? If they do, what do those alternatives look like? And how do you differentiate yourself and your business from those alternatives? A good example is Uber, right? It solves the job of getting somewhere quickly, easily, and without any hassle. So what problem or job are you solving within your product space? The second thing you need to do is to really understand the product market channel fit. Your product must fit the market, and the channels you use must also fit the customers you're trying to reach. So the product market fit, for example, will be people who genuinely want and need your product. So if there's people who genuinely want and need your product, you know that there is a market fit. There's people who want that product. And then a channel fit will be you knowing where your audience is. Do you find them on Instagram, on email? Are they in the malls and retail spaces? And how you actually are able to reach them effectively. That's the channel fit. And then there's the product fit. A product that actually delivers value will be considered as a product with a product fit. So you need to ensure that you've got all of those three and you understand them. A good example, if Narrow Smith today were to launch a cookbook or food products that are for people who struggle with eczema or have lupus, for example, it will be a great market fit because she's already used social media to build a community before even selling those products. So she has a market fit already. So what is your product market fit? And do you have the right channel for it? And does that product that you have actually deliver value? The third thing that you need to do is to really also understand your market readiness and timing. You can't just start a business at any time and expect it to thrive. You need to look at what's happening in the market and if it's going to work in that market at that particular time. Because even great ideas and great businesses and great products can flop if the market isn't ready for them. So you need to look at whether there are any macro trends, for example, that are happening within your industry at that particular time. For example, if I were to launch an African dance studio right now, for example, it could really work because Africa as a whole is thriving, it's trending. African music, especially amapiano, for example, is trending heavy right now. So if I'm to have a dance studio in New York, in LA, I could make it big there because that's an indication that the market is ready for it, the market is excited for it. So what macro trends are happening within your industry right now that show you that people are ready for your product or your service and they'll get excited about it? Are people looking for the solution like yours? Are people excited about finding a solution like yours? So that will really help you get it right. If you don't know how to actually do your market research and understand the market that you're living in, go back to some of the lessons that we've done in this course because we did that in depth where we covered how to do your market research as well as how to do your competitor analysis. That will really help you with this part of this work. A good example for market readiness is Zoom, right? Which really boomed during the COVID-19 pandemic because people suddenly needed remote access and remote video communication. So look at what's happening within your space that's needed immediately right now by your community. The fourth thing that you need to also consider is the technology and infrastructure that you need for your business, right? Before you launch your business, you need to also make sure that people are excited. However, that you also have the right back end to support the growth that you can get from your business. Is your website fast? Is it mobile friendly? Do you have the right systems and processes in place, for example, for payments, for deliveries, and for customer support? And can you scale it if demand spikes really quickly? What technology do you have within that business that ensures that your are ready to grow your business. When you do this, remember that you have to take into consideration your customer journey, which really ensures that you build a platform that works for your customers, where your customers can have an exceptional experience with your business when they're ordering, from the time they get aware about your business to when they receive their product, to when they even come and become repeat buyers and customers of your business. So what technology do you have, and is your infrastructure ready for the market? When you do this, remember to consider your customer journey, right? And ensure that the platform is built with the user experience in mind. If you haven't watched the customer journey mapping lesson, you can go back and watch it in those playlists, because here you ask yourself a couple of questions. For example, where is your customer mentally and at each stage when they're buying? From the time they get aware of your product, when they make the decision to buy, what influences them to make a decision to buy from one business from another? How much do they earn? Where do they live? What do they feel like? What stage in their lives are they in? Are they getting married? Do they just get a new baby? Do they just buy a new car, a new home? You need to understand everything about your customer. What do they need to hear? What solutions are they looking for? So that you can then map your channels to each stage of awareness for your business. A good tip here is that you need to also run a beta test or a soft launch to also ensure that you keep on testing everything and ensuring that you learn from that and change what you need to change. The fifth thing that you need to do now, which is one of my exciting parts that I love so much, is crafting your position messaging, right? So there's a formula that somebody taught me of doing this, and the formula to do this is really quite easy. So it goes like, you write a sentence about what your product or your service does. So for example, you'd say to dash, and there you put your target audience, who dash, on the dash you put your need or problem. Our product is dash, which is your category, that dash, and then that's the key benefit. Unlike dash, that's the alternative or your competitors, it is dash. That's the unique differentiator that's there. So it would read something like this. So for example, if I'm to look at Airbnb as a business, it would read something like this. To travelers looking for affordable local experiences, Airbnb is a platform that connects them to unique homes. Unlike hotels, it offers more personal and often cheaper stays. Do you get it? So that's the formula that you can use to do this. And then when you're building your messaging, ask yourself, what transformation do you offer as a business? How is it different? What transformation do you offer? And what emotional triggers can you connect with as a business? And what language do your customers use? Are they fun? Are they excited? Are they young? Are they more uptight? Are they executives? Are they C-suite? Are they moms? Are they toddlers? So that you can talk to them in a language that they understand and they can connect with. A good example is Nike. All of us like Nike, and they just use "just do it." All of us know that Nike will say, "just do it." And this really sparks motivation and purpose. And it's not just only about selling shoes. It's about something that's bigger. And all of this is within their messaging. When you've done your messaging and you've written it down, you need to also, again, run an A-B test, for example, on email subject lines, on headlines of your copy, on your advertising copy, and see what people respond to, see what language gets people excited, gets more clicks, and gets more conversions, because that will become an indicator for what to use in the future and what your audience actually likes. The sixth thing that you need to do is also now your segmentation strategy, right? Who are you talking to? Goes back again to understanding your customer. You'll hear me repeat this over and over and over again, because guys, to build a winning business, you need to know your customer and know who they are and understand their profiles. What is their name? Make it up. Are they young professionals in the urban space? Is it an older person? Where do they live? What do they like? Who is that customer? What's their age? Do they have some pain points, for example? Is it a pain point for them that they're so busy because of work that they don't have time to cook, but they want healthy meals, for example? What channels do they enjoy? Do they spend most of their time on Instagram or on TikTok? Do they watch YouTube or listen to podcasts? And what are those buying triggers that they have? For example, if we're talking about food, those buying triggers could be convenience and clean eating. For example, if you are, say, selling luxury candles, for example, right, your customer profile here could be, can't be a broke student who has no money and living at risk. It would be somebody who loves aesthetics, who values self-care, who follows home decor content, a homemaker who likes the soft life. That's the person that you're supposed to be targeting for that business. So you have to, again, understand the customer and where they are at in their lives and what is triggering them. If you want to learn how to really get into the mind of your customer and understand them better, please click the link below where you can get access to Awesome, a free platform where you're able to really do that for your business and get to understand your audience and your market in depth. Now, the seventh thing that you need to do in this journey is to really your route to market planning. Because here you need to ask, will I sell direct to consumer? Will I sell wholesale? Am I selling through partners? Am I selling online? Am I selling in marketplaces? Am I going to have a shop where I'm selling? And you also need to ask yourself, what do I need? Am I going to need local representatives to sell for me? Do I need online support crews? Do I need people who are going to be answering phones? What do I need in this space to ensure that I stand out? And the eighth thing is really that launch sequencing. You don't just launch a product or a business immediately. You need to see what happens and know what happens when and why. For example, you start with a soft launch, right? This is when you're just testing the waters with a small group. So instead of opening up your product to a million people or everyone online, you can pick a small sample of 50 people, for example. These people would come and give you feedback about the problem, about the product that you're selling. You'll be able to see if there's any problems, there are any bugs, there's any adjustments that you need, what they feel about the product, how they feel about the system and the buying process, how they feel about how the product was delivered to them, how they feel about your website and its usability. So you have to start small. And then when you're fixed all of the problems that arise from your soft launch, then you can do your official launch. Here, now you go all out. It's exciting. You've got the press, you've got social media, you've got influencers, you've got campaigns. You're doing all of the stuff that everybody loves. And then there's then the post-launch process that also needs to take place here. This is helping you sort of keep momentum with content and upselling and support, ensuring that people continue to know that you mean business and you're here to stay. A good tip I'll give you here is to really use countdowns and wait lists so that you can build excitement about your product or your service so that people know that you're coming and you mean business and they get excited about it. So another consideration that you need to make here as tip number 9 is to really understand the resources that you need for the business, from the budget that you need in the business. You need budgets for advertising, for technological tools, for your design, for your employees, for office space if you need. So ensure that you understand every expense that is associated with you having your product in the market, and you jot it down. And you also understand the type of people that you need in the business and what each of them are responsible for. When you have a team, the biggest mistake that you can make is creating confusion where people don't know who's supposed to be doing what and when. So ensure that there's clarity with regards to that. And time is a big factor. You must ensure that you've got a launch calendar where everyone is recording all the key milestones, and you ensure that you stay on track with the time ahead of the launch of your business. Now, at tip number 10, you need to understand your distribution and launch by having an execution checklist, for example, right? This checklist really ensures that you're on track and that you don't miss anything when you're launching your new product or your new service-based business. It gives you clear product messaging across all the platforms. The way in which you sound on your website should be the same as how you sound on social media. When people call you, it should be the same way you sound. So you need to have that brand voice that people know and understand. Customer service should always be trained and ready to go. And remember, you need to ensure that you minimize the problems that can arise so that you are giving more of a customer experience over and above the customer service, right? And then you also need to ensure that you've got your emails done and your SMS sequences ready to go and scheduled to go. There's so many platforms that you can use for this. One of my favorites is system.io. It ensures that you can automatically send emails out to your community. And you should also think about influencers and partners that you can use for this launch and ensure that they are lined up, they understand what they need to do, how they need to sound, what you need as a business, etc. And also have a press kit, guys, for your launch. Gorgeous video, which is clear about what you're doing as a business, what people can expect, what you're selling, what you're about, where people can find you, etc. Have a press release, a media database where you can send out all of this information and you can start getting press interviews for your business. The 11th thing now is to start measuring success, because now you've rolled out this new product or this new service-based business. So you need to measure success, because you can't just be working and you're not measuring if what you're doing is working out. So you need to measure your customer acquisition cost, because you need to know exactly how much it costs you to land a customer within your business. You need to understand your customer lifetime value, your conversion rates from your landing page to your checkout page, for example, your churn rate, if you're a subscription model based businesses, because we know that as a subscription model based business, it can be tricky with people just canceling their subscriptions at any time. And you need to also understand how much you are paying for your paid traffic and how that is comparing to your organic traffic, what's bringing more to the business, more eyeballs and more money within the business. And customer feedback, how many customers are happy, how much complaints are you getting as a customer. So for example, if your customer acquisition cost is 200 Rand per customer, for example, if that one customer brings in 10,000 Rand over time, that's a huge win, right? So you need to understand all of those numbers and ensure that at every stage you're collecting data and information so that you know where your business is at. Here are a few things that you also need to avoid when going to market with your product or your service. You shouldn't sell features and just be selling to people. Sell the benefits. Get rid of dark spots in 3 days. Rejuvenate your hairline in 7 weeks, etc. So sell the benefits of your product and of your business. Also, don't try to get everyone and get everyone happy, because not everyone is your customer. So nail that niche quickly and first within your launch, in the first few weeks of your launch. Those people that you get right and love your product are the ones that are going to keep coming back. You're going to get people who are complaining and saying, hey, I don't like the product, this is wrong, whatever. Concentrate on your niche. And then another thing you should avoid is launching without testing your message first. Because if you just go into the market and like throwing pasta onto the wall and hoping it sits, it won't work at all. Make sure that you test. Test your headlines, test your offers, test your visuals, test everything. You can even use Facebook ads, for example, emails and surveys to test what resonates better with people. Adjust your messaging based on the click-through rates, for example, and conversion rates that you're getting on your website. Another thing that I must mention before we finish this episode is that your brand message should be the same across all platforms. I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but go through your website, go through your social media, talk with your copywriting team, think about the emails and the packaging and everything that you're doing. Ensure that everything is the same. The customer service script, the website, if you've got corporate wear, caps and shirts, the messaging should be the same. The tone should be the same. For example, Apple speaks simply around consistency and emotionally across every touch point. So how do you want people to feel, and how do you want them to perceive your brand across all of the platforms? It all has to be the same. A good real world example is Canva. Guys, I feel like Canva really nailed its go-to-market strategy. Canva didn't start by targeting everyone when they first launched. It really focused on non-designers. They focused on small business owners, students, marketers who really needed simple tools to help them design some sort of flyers, documents, etc. And their go-to-market strategy was built around tutorials, freemium access to people who needed tutorials, for example, and easy collaboration across teams that are working together. And it worked so well, so much that today they have over 100 million users. So you have to nail that go-to-market strategy. So remember that when done well, a great go-to-market strategy is the difference between a product that fades and a product that thrives within the market. So please, please click the link below to sign up to my newsletter, where I give you all the free templates and strategies that you need to build and grow your business. I've got everything that you need to ensure that you can go to market efficiently. So don't disappoint yourself and your future business. But for now, goodbye. Thank you.